Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning as we stand praying in your presence. We thank you for the great one, the Holy Spirit, whom you sent to be our teacher, our guide, our helper, our intercessor, our one who stands by, the one who supports us, our strengthener. He's inside of us. And so, Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that he'd rise up big in us, that we would be able to be able hearers, we'll be doers of the word of God. Your word, Lord, I've been so excited about your word lately. In the name of Jesus, you said you began a work in us, and you're going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until we see him face to face. And you said that you are in us, doing the work of God, doing your will, and you're going to give us the ability to want to do your will. You said in your word, and the scriptures in Philippians, you said in 2:13, you said that it is you that is working in me, to giving me the want to, giving me the willingness to do your will and to complete what you've called us to do. I pray that every person in here that has a gift, a calling of God, will be ignited. There'll be the flame of fire will be fanned inside of them again, that they'll want to follow you, that they'll want to do what you said to do. Lord God, I want to thank you that we would just eliminate all the things that would cause the will of God, that we just strip off the things that are not pleasing in your sight, that we'll follow your will, and the peace of God that passes understanding will be ours and everything that we need in this life. We pray in the name of Jesus that you said in your word that you hear our prayers and your eyes are looking upon us right now. We thank you for the great one that's here, the Holy Spirit that's in us. That if anybody needs healing, anybody needs a word of knowledge, anybody needs direction, they'll find it in the word of God. No matter what I'm preaching, that you're going to do something in their lives today. I pray in the name of Jesus, everyone that's watching will have the same opportunity. We give you praise in advance because you are a faith God. In the name of Jesus, we say amen, amen, amen. All right, go ahead, be seated. I want you to turn in your Bibles today with me to Acts 4:33. We've been using that scripture as a text. We're talking about the amazing grace of God. And our title this morning, Learning to Receive More Grace, or How to Receive More Grace. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, we've talked about it twice already, or three times, about the amazing grace of God. The scripture says here in Acts 4:33, I'm reading the King James Bible, it says, "What great grace gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." I want you to notice, it says there, "With great power God gave witness to the apostles." And it was a witness of the resurrection. It means that, you know, they were not serving some dead God, that what Jesus said they should do, he accomplished it through the apostles. They were doing what Jesus said, and Jesus was confirming what he asked the apostles to do with great power. And it says, and great grace also, thank God for this, and great grace, it says not only that great power was available, but great grace, not just grace, but great grace. In other words, there is a multiplication or an addition or an increase of the grace of God upon just a few of them. Just the apostles. No, it says upon them all. So everyone there, not just the apostles, not just the preachers, but everyone in that believers in that church, the grace of God was upon everybody. Praise God. Amen. So we thank God that this grace, this great grace is available to everybody this morning. If you will receive it, if you begin to believe God, it'll be there. I'm reading the Amplified Bible here. It says, "With great ability and with great ability and power, the apostles were continuously testifying of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, God's remarkable loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all." We thank God for that Amplified Bible. So we're talking about the idea this morning. We're talking about is the favor of God and how you can have more favor. Is that favor available? Favor to get more, favor to receive more. And the scriptures tell us that we can receive more of God's goodness, more of God's loving kindness. His favor and goodwill will rest upon us. richly, not just rich, but richly. So here, you know, in these very beginning chapters of the book of Acts, we see an outset, the outset of the early church, the beginning church. The church was a Jewish church only, because Jesus came to his own. God used the Jewish people to initiate his appearing to the world. He used that small nation to show people that, you know, he could use anybody. And so he came upon those people, and those people actually didn't receive him the way they could have. The Bible says in John chapter 1, you see that he came to his own people, and his own people didn't receive him. So if your own people don't receive you, don't feel bad about it, because you're not the only one. Praise God. Amen. And so it says here, the book of Acts, in the book of Acts, we see the early ministry and the life of the church. The apostles had great opposition and persecution. And Peter and John, who were pillars, leaders of that first church and movement, they began to minister, and they healed a lame man who was born crippled. He was like that for some 40 years. He laid at the beautiful gate. Chapter 3 tells us about that. And he was there, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And the man, they went over there and grabbed him and lifted him up, and he jumped up, and his feet and ankles bones received immediate strength. If you've been that way you're born a certain way, and everybody knows you've been born, you have no strength in your feet, and within an instant, you're walking up, you're jumping up and down. Now, can you imagine someone who's never walked, his ankles and feet was, basically an invalid, he couldn't walk. Imagine he didn't have any muscles, and he was just skin and bone sitting there. And somebody who doesn't use their parts, you know, you kind of disintegrate, somehow your body doesn't, if it's not useful, it loses all its muscle tone and so forth. And so this man jumps up, and of course everybody's excited. Some were amazed at what was going on, and so got this guy healed. And so the people there, the religious folks, you know, you also find religious people. They're always questioning what you're doing, and I know that when I got born again, they were always questioning me because they told me I'll just die off, just like the rest of them, and be cold. And I'm glad I didn't believe that. I went to a church. I thought, you know, they'd be happy for me. I went to a Pentecostal church, and I was so exuberant and so excited. I guess they might have been afraid of me. I don't know. But anyway, I was there, and they said, "Oh, you're going to die off soon, just like everybody else. You'll be like us." And so don't be too excited. And so I was kind of scared because I didn't know if it was my place or not. But anyway, I didn't. I kept going, and here I am to this day. So thank God that I'm around for the day. Thank you for that one clap, and two, and three. And so so this guy jumps up, and so these religious folks got mad because they it was not happening to them. I guess they said, "You shouldn't be doing this." So they told that guy, you know, "Who did this?" This guy says, "I don't know, these two guys, you know." And so they found Peter and John, and they gave them a good beating and put them in prison, put their hands in stocks and feet and put them in jail, and really berated them and told them, "Do not teach anymore in the name of Jesus." And so they said, "We cannot stop preaching about the name of Jesus," and so on. And that became a great persecution because they were doing something. You know, people, Christians, you know, we have to have some wisdom here, because sometimes there's Christians who go on and they do things that are stupid, and they call it persecution. It's not persecution. It might be because you've been acting stupid, trying to force some gospel down someone. You can't force someone to receive, and you can't argue with people to get them to receive Jesus. So I want you to understand that you cannot force people to be born again. So where's Jimmy? Oh, is he sleeping? Okay, so I was talking about Jimmy. You know, Jimmy used to witness to my wife. Every time she got on the bus, Jimmy would come to her and witness to my wife. She's already born again. So he got her saved about 7 times. And so we had a good laugh about that. Jimmy, we laughed about this many, many years. But so don't go around try to force people to be born again. You know, in fact, I'll tell you, if you live right, people are going to ask you, why are you so happy? And why you look so wonderful? And why you're so peaceful? And how you bless so much? And you, there's an opportunity. God will open that door. There's some people that will go door to door. God will lead them that way. But not everybody's going to go door to door. Nobody would be home if we did that. So we'd all be doing it. But there's a way to do it. So anyway, I was just getting a little, having a bunny trail there because, you know, we can't, you know, when people say I'm being persecuted, it's because maybe they've been, you know, unwise in some way, and so they're getting flack from people. But Jesus, you know, there's real persecution is when you're ministering the gospel, you're preaching the good news, people are getting healed, and people are coming against that. And you're having signs and wonders and so on. So that's what they were getting. It wasn't something because something stupid. So anyway, so the Bible said they prayed, they got beaten, put in jail, and they got out, and supernaturally they got out of the jail. And the Bible says they begin to pray, and that's when you see the great grace came upon them, and the power of God began manifest, and you see that happening there because the power of God shook the place. They were full of the Spirit of God. So the devil is behind all the opposition that is happening against the people, not to teach or even mention the name of Jesus. You know, you can't hardly mention the name of Jesus in certain circles, and they'll get their back. People get mad because you're talking about Jesus, but they use the name of the Lord. They use Jesus' name as a swear word, and it's offensive. But for us Christians, you know, I've worked in different fields, in different areas of the city, different organizations, and if you're a Christian, you know, people look at you sideways, you know, watch you a little bit. But, you know, why? You know, it's a free country. Last time I checked, we live in a democratic society. We can preach, we can be who we are. But so we have to be careful. We're not going to be fighting with anybody, but we're going to preach the name of Jesus. So that spirit, that Antichrist spirit was there back then. It's still here today. And so we're going to see that even more in these last days. So the Bible says the building shook and his power was manifested. All the people, not just one, the power of God was upon them and the great grace was upon them. And so we're talking about the grace of God. So they received the grace of God. And we said, you know, this grace in our lives, you know, what is the grace of God? It's the power of God on working in your life to give you blessings, to give you opportunity, to really give you favor in this world. It'll open up things in areas where you thought it never would open to you. I'm going to look at this morning, great grace. So his grace was upon them like a refreshing morning, it says here. Now, Proverbs 19:12 says, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but the favor, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. So the Amplified says, the king's wrath is terrifying as a roaring lion, but his favor is as refreshing dew upon the grass. Let me just read this from the Message Bible. It says, mean-tempered leaders are like mad dogs, and good-natured are like fresh morning dew. Don't you notice that some people that are nice people, it's like a breath of fresh air, you know, they work in different places. Some people are just so refreshing to be around. Other people are just like sandpaper. You work with them, it's just like rub you the wrong way. And so we need to be with people. We need to be that kind of gracious person that when we're around people, we uplift them and we give them a refreshing, right? And we're like the morning dew, give them a refreshing. You know, how many of you had a nice shower? Hope you all had a shower. That's just kind of saying something here. You know, somebody used an Irish spring. They said it's supposed to give you a refreshing, whatever. But anyway, I use Dove. Dove soup is a Holy Spirit soap, to wash you up and give you a refreshing. So buy some Dove. It'll help you. This is a paid political announcement. Anyway, the king's anger, it says, the Good News Bible says, the king's anger is like a roar of a lion, but his favor is like welcome rain. You know, whoever wants a welcome rain, but I guess you'd need it at certain times if you were in the desert. Well, we need rain anyway, right? I'm not against any rain. I think Pastor Steve's winning. He's been praying for snow, and it's coming early. Pastor Steve, where are you? We're going to have to talk to you. And he's praying for that snow to come. So the TPT, the Bible says, the rage of a king is like a roar of a lion, but his sweet favor is like a gentle, refreshing rain. God is wonderful. He's compassionate. You know, when his favor is upon you, there's something good about the favor of God upon your life. It's such a sweetness about it. Thank God. His favor is like dew upon us. And so, as we can see, there's degrees of God's favor. Some people seemingly have more favor than others with God. Some people seem to hear God more than other people. And it's true. Some people seem to get more blessed than other people in the kingdom of God. But God, the Bible says that God has no favorites. And he just doesn't favor just one people or one person more than the other. The Bible says that God treats everyone the same. You can check that out in the scripture. And he's not a respecter of any person's status or your culture or whatever it is. God treats everyone the same. And so, but when you look at it, you see some people seem to have more blessings than other people. Some people seem to have more opportunities than other people. There's something about that because it is because of the favor of God upon their lives. It's because something, they know something you don't know. They begin to receive the favor of God. And you can receive more of God's favor if you understand this and receive it according to Scripture. We see in James 4:6, the Bible talks about you can have more favor. You can have more and more. In John 1:6, the Bible Amplified says, you can have layers and layers of favor upon your life. More and more. You can add on more and more in your life. And so, I wanted to mention here that, you know, if you were, what could you do this morning with more of God's favor? How much can you accomplish if you had more favor, if you had more favor with people and God's blessing is on you and opportunities there? How much more can you do with this 25% more of favor? Amen? Imagine what your business would be like, 50% more of God's favor in your life. And you could have your prayers answered. You could have all kinds of stuff happening in your life. His favor is rich upon us. In Hebrews 4:6, it talks about in there that His grace, we can have grace to help in the time of need. We can have the grace of God at the right time with the appropriate blessing of God upon our lives. So each of us, I believe, today, this morning, we could receive more of the favor of God. We can have the right kind of favor for the thing that we're looking for this morning. Amen? So I'm going to look at this Bible scripture from Psalm 119, verse 58, that King James says, I treated thy favor, this is a prayer that you can pray, with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. So this morning, you can pray to ask God his favor. In fact, you know, that goes along with Philippians 4. Let's go to the scripture, go back to another scripture. Let's go to Hebrews 4 and 16, and I want you to see this over here. 4:16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, the gracious throne of God, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God, let's take it in the, let's go to the Amplified Bible with that. I think maybe the Amplified Classical. And I just want you to see, because the original language there, the Greek language, gives the key word. And then it amplifies it for us. Let us fearlessly and confidently with boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners. I guess they added that because we're not sinners anymore. We're born again. Once you're born again, you're no longer a sinner. Okay, so don't ever say, I'm a sinner. Say, by grace, sounds pretty cool, but you're not a sinner anymore. Okay, maybe your body wants to sin, but you're not a sinner. Your spirit is born again. Amen. Every one of you, if you came to Jesus, you don't want to sin anymore. I didn't say your body didn't want to. I said you don't want to. And the man on inside doesn't want to. and your mind will want to go to different things. See, that's what happens. You get born again. Your spirit is brand new. It doesn't want to sin. It doesn't sin. In that sense, you know, it wants to go and do that. But your body, your natural man, it wants to go and do the things it used to do. Your body will hijack your life, especially if you're addicted to something. Your body will hijack you. You'll want to smoke. You're forced to go and have smoke breaks every 5 minutes. And you can't stay still in someone's home. You can't visit people because what if they don't smoke there? You're not permitted, so you won't go visit them. How many people relate that? How many of you smokers ever had that problem? One person. Okay, so, or drink alcohol or whatever it is. But some of you don't do it. If I ask you any questions, some of you just go like this. So you're so uncooperative, I could slap you. Anyway, spiritually speaking. But anyway, give me some help, okay? So anyway, God's unmerited favor to us that we might receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in every good time, for every need, appropriate help, and well-timed coming just when we need it. Isn't that wonderful that we can go to God and get the help we need when we need it? At the right moment, at the right opportunity. Somebody said one time, you know, God is never, never early. And he's never late. God's always on time. His timing is the right time. But so our flesh wants God to do it right now. And so thank God that he knows the right timing. So the question that we have is that can we have more grace? And we see in Exodus chapter 33, Moses pleads with God, and God gave him his manifest presence. Moses said, God, if you're not going to go with me, don't set us anywhere without you. And he pleaded with God, talked to God. God says, okay, I'm going to go with you. If I found grace in your sight, that's what he says in that chapter. If I have found grace in your sight, come with us. So he was asking for the grace of God, and God says, I'm going to give you my presence. So the presence of God. You know, how many people understand this? The Holy Spirit in the Bible, he's called the Spirit of Grace. Amen? You look that up in the Bible. It talks about the Holy Spirit. He is called the Spirit of Grace. So God told Moses, I'm going to come with you. I'm going to be there with you. He has said, I want your grace, Father. How will people know that I'm, you know, we're your people and so on? He said, my grace will be with you. So he went with him, and they did great things together. So we want grace. We don't want to do anything without God's grace, right? So God gave him his manifest presence. Even though, you know, we can have God's grace sometimes, you can mess up because your flesh gets involved. But God is faithful. He'll always help you no matter how many times you fail. Get up again, amen? No matter how many times you fail, get up again. You can't go forward if you don't keep getting up. The more you get up, the better you'll be. The better you'll be. So quit looking to everybody else, putting pressure on everybody else. Put the pressure on the Word of God, and God will keep you going. You know, I've learned this, that faith puts no pressure on people. You know, if you're in faith, you don't put pressure on people. You know, pressure on each other. You believe God. Put the pressure on God because that's where you're supposed to believe. You know, there's men and women in households. They put pressure on each other. You should do this. You should work more. And you know, God believes. You know, we were thinking about this yesterday in 1 Corinthians 13. The Bible says, love believes the best of every person. I believe God's going to work through you. You're going to make the right decisions. So, we can get more of God's grace working in us. That's God's unmerited, unearned favor working for you. That's what the grace of God is. You didn't work for it. You weren't smart enough to work this out, figure it out. Now, God's favor is unearned. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to pray 1,000 hours. You don't have to give money for it. You don't have to do anything except go to God and say, God, I want your favor. But there is some stipulation. We have to know this. Look at the scriptures. Psalm 89:17 says, we're going to see something here, 89:17. It says, for thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. The God's Word translation says, because you are the glory of their strength, by your favor you give us victory. You know, we need God's victory in our lives to have the favor. If we're going to have victory, we're going to have the favor of God. We got to get the favor of God in our lives. We have to ask God for his favor. So we need to see, the Bible says here in Psalm 89, 17, God's word, by your favor, you give us victory. The common English version says, your glorious power makes us strong because of your kindness. Our strength increases. That's the common English Bible version. So you might be weak this morning. Maybe you're feeling weak of making decisions, of doing something that you have to do, something that you're facing. God will give you the ability to stand. We saw a couple of teachings ago that there is what we call saving grace. God saved you. You didn't have to work for it. God saved you for free. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to pray hours. God sent Jesus. He sent Jesus before you were ever born. He knew you were going to be there, so you were able to have that. By grace, you are saved through faith. It's the grace of God, right? We saw that. We saw there's saving grace. We also see that there's serving grace, that God will give you the ability to serve him. If you want to serve God, God will give you the ability to serve him. We saw that in Romans 12. We saw that in different scriptures. First Peter 4:10 says that God has given each person the ability, the grace to serve him. That ability in you is God's grace so that you can serve him. Amen? Thank God that every one of you here can serve God. Every one of you can show what God can do in your life. It's amazing what God can do in your life. Each one of you has gifts in you. Each one of you has giftings that'll be a blessing to people, to the body of Christ. And he wants to use you, every one of you, somehow, some way. Maybe you're not operating right now, but hopefully that all of us will begin to use our gifting. We need you. God needs you. We can't be what we should be without you. Amen? We need everybody. You that are sitting at home, we need you to come back. Amen? We want you to come back. How many people want them to come back? Give them a hand. Come on. You see, people are waiting for you here. They're waiting for you to come home. Glory to God. Amen? I thank God. You know, coming to church here feels like home. Come home. This is my home, a home away from home. And when I come here, the Holy Spirit gives me a great hug. When I'm in my office, I could be there for hours. And my wife and I, we just come here some nights, we just sit around. Because the presence of God, there's something here that is enriching, and there's something here that's wonderful, and the Lord's blessing here. So thank God for that. So the complete Jewish Bible says about Psalm 89, 17 and 18, they rejoice in your name all day. They're lifted up by your righteousness. For by yourself are the strength in which they glory. Our power grows by pleasing you. So, if we want to have more grace, we need to please God. Our lives need to please God. We need to be pleasing to God. Power is extended to us through us pleasing God, wanting to serve him, wanting to walk with him, wanting to fellowship with him, wanting to pray and have communion with him. Grace is extended to us. God makes, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, when you have grace, when you have the grace of God working in you, everybody can be against you, but God says, I'm going to make even them like you. How many of you got somebody you don't like? You're going to have to try this on them. Okay, so watch this. It says there, Proverbs 16:7, the King James says, when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes. Everybody say, he makes. He makes. Come on, everybody say, he makes. He makes. Everybody say, he makes. He makes. One more time, makes. He makes. So, you know what that means in the Greek? Makes them. He says he makes them. Make it even his enemies be at peace with him. When God, you know, you see that in the scriptures, the enemies can be, they'll want to be at peace with you. It's amazing that sometimes, you know, I've known other people say, I don't know why I'm blessing you. I don't know why I'm giving you this opportunity. Well, the peace of God is there, working on our behalf. See, I'm going to give you this deal. I don't know why I'm going to give you this. This is, you're stealing from me right now. I'm going to give you this car at half price, whatever it is. You know, God's grace is there. Amen? I went to get some chicken wings. I was so tempted. I gave into my temptation. It was Wednesday. I went to Pizza Pizza. Anybody know where Pizza Pizza is? If you see me around there Wednesday night, just come and follow me. So I went to get some hot wings. I went in there, asked for some hot wings. The guy said, you know, I'm going to give you more of this stuff here. I'll give you this. Just, you know, we're gonna, probably not going to eat these. Take these home. So I came home with more stuff than I needed, praise God. No. Anyway, I was being persecuted, but they were trying to make me fat, I guess. But I did lose weight. I've been losing weight. I'm going to take this break, a commercial break. I've been losing a little bit of weight here. Even though with all the chicken, so eat chicken, you'll lose weight. So when your lives please God, God even makes your enemies be at peace with you. That's scripture. So they'll be at peace with you. They're not going to be fighting with you. And the scripture says that's what he says. Many people don't believe this, but they, you know, they say otherwise. Look at Psalm 41 and verse 10. He says, I know you're pleased with me, for you have not let my enemies triumph over me. This is Psalm 41:11. I'm reading the New Living Translation there. It says, I know you're pleased with me, for you have not let my enemies triumph over me. So, you know, we need to believe that. So if you have this problem, start believing God. Ask God for a favor. I was when I was teaching at the college, I had an incident where somebody hired in me in the administration. I don't know if it was a dean or somebody was there, and they somehow came to class, and I was teaching. The person came and said, he said this class is canceled. Canceled. I said, I'm teaching my class. And he said, no. And so they said, because I'm a minister, they know I'm a minister, a Christian. They said, well, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. They told me that in front of everybody in that room, and people started laughing, you know. And, okay, you know, walked away. And somebody reported the incident to the president the head of the school. And so they made them write the letter to me and gave me a personal apology. I didn't do it. Somebody else did it. I'm telling you, God will fight your battles. Amen. Amen. And then they gave me a raise. They gave me a huge raise, especially when I got my doctorate degree. They gave me a huge raise. And then they laid me off. Because they couldn't afford me anymore. They say, okay, we can't afford a doctor. We just want a regular guy. So I worked myself off a job. So anyway, I should go back as a regular guy. So don't even count that on me. So I told my wife, I want to teach 2 more years. So I want to make 20 years. So I'm going to probably do that somewhere. So anyway, you pray for me. God will help me. Okay? Maybe it's not God's will. Anyway, I like doing these little money trails so that it'll help you stay focused. You guys, some of you grew up with Sesame Street. There's always like something new happening every 15 seconds. They're all like, what do you call that again? APTSD, whatever you call it. And I'm just like, so anyway. Go to Ecclesiastes 7:26. And I'm reading New Living here. It says there, I discovered that the seductive woman is a trap more bitter than death. Her passion is a snare, and her soft hands are chains. Ooh. Those Those who are pleasing to God will escape her, but sinners will be caught in her snare. So it tells us, you know, listen, this is going to be applied to a man or a woman. You see, if somebody is going to try to commit adultery, or trying to snag you, as they say in the native circle, they're trying to snag you. Okay, and somebody said, "I'm snaggable." I'm not snaggable anymore. I'm married. Okay, but anyway, so if you have that problem, the Lord says He's going to protect you. Hello, come on now. Okay, we go. They don't know what to say. You want to be snagged or not? No, you don't want to be snagged, so you're going to use the scripture. It says in here, okay? It says there, you're not snaggable. Ecclesiastes 7:26. You can use that scripture today. Put it on your status. My pastor says I'm not snaggable. Ecclesiastes 7:26. Okay? Use it. I know some of you are married. But you need to put that on, even if you're married. Ed, come on. He's driving all over every city. Wonder who's going to try to snag me this time. Shift it. Oh, he doesn't have a shift, but he's driving around. Amen. So the grace of God will make a man or woman strong to temptations to adultery. Because of the grace of God on you. See, sometimes your flesh will want to go to the other direction, but God will give you that ability, gives you that ability to want to serve God and turn away. Because your flesh is not good. Your flesh will do anything. Your flesh is not born again. Your flesh will want to do the things it used to do. If you're not careful, you'll resemble someone who's not even saved, and people think, "What is this person saved?" And so this is what the Corinthian church was having trouble with in the beginning. They were acting like they're not even born again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 or 3, verse 1 to 3, the latter part of verse 3 in the Amplified Bible says, they looked like mere men, or they were looking like they were not even saved. So, you know, your body can hijack your spirit. Your mind can hijack your spirit. If you don't renew your mind, you'll still act like you're not even saved. Your body will want to do the same things it used to do. So thank God for the grace of God. You can be strong. Amen? Glory to God. Jesus showed that he walked in the limited grace of God, the unlimited grace of God. He walked in the mercy of God every day. All his provisions were made, and God was working in his life. The Bible says in John 3:34, it says there in the New Living, he said, "For he is sent by God who speaks God's words, for God gives him the Spirit without limit." We see there's a limit. There's for us, we have a limitation. But with Jesus, it was like unlimited power flowing in his life. In John 8:6, the Bible says God's presence was great on the Lord in a very, very powerful way. As you see here in John 18:6, as soon as he had said unto them, "I am he," because they said they came to look for Jesus, when Jesus said, "I am he," and everybody fell to the ground. I was hearing a story, Lester Summerall, he was preaching at a men's conference, at a pastor's conference, and he's preaching the gospel like that, and he jumps off the stage, and all those ministers fell to the ground. In the front of fell to the ground. And the power of God was so manifest in his life. And I remember he was being persecuted. And I think it was in the Philippines. He was telling the story. And the persecution was really bad against his ministry. And according to the prophet, this is the scripture, and he pointed to that man. He says, you will fall dead at this time. And the guy fell dead at that time. And I remember Brother Hagin said the same thing, that telling stories about Brother Hagin, that he was handling women's breasts as they were praying. He was praying for the sick. And this man was saying all these things. And Brother Hagin says, This guy is going to fall dead next Sunday in his pulpit. And the guy fell dead, just like he said. I mean, this is powerful stuff. But you can see that's in the Scripture. It's in the Scripture. So, I'm not going to be pointing at anybody this morning. So this is amazing how this can happen. And the fact it happens in the Testament there. So, Moses asked for the presence of God. Moses said there God was powerful in his life. In Exodus 13 and 14, he said, I pray thee if I have found grace in your sight. This is Exodus 13, actually 33, 13, 14. Now, therefore, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. There was a kind of an argument with God. Anybody ever have an argument with God? You talk to God, and and he was arguing with God. God says this, and he said that. He said, he said, get away from me, get away from those people. We're gonna, we'll start brand new. And Moses said, no, you cannot destroy them. He interceded for them. How many people know you can intercede for somebody who's out there? You can pray to God, and God will save a sinner because you prayed for them. Amen. That's what Scripture says. You can intercede for someone and pray for them, and God will save them from their lifestyle. And so Moses prayed for these people that God was going to destroy. And he says that, and then God says in verse 14, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. One of the greatest things about walking in the favor of God, walking in the presence of God, is having such rest, having the peace of God in your life. There's peace in your life. That's how you know you're walking in the grace of God, that you have peace, that, you know what, hey, everything's going to be okay. When everything is not good, you shouldn't have a reason for actually saying that. But in your heart, you know that God said everything's going to be okay. Amen. You know, but if you keep looking at the natural, you'll still get nervous about it. But keep looking at the Word of God. And God, and the grace of God brings you peace. Amen. Gives you peace. You know, you have peace with your enemies. You know, you got peace with God. The Bible says that God made peace by His blood in Romans 5, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That God, has favored us. We're all favored by God right now. We have the favor of God working in our lives. So, John 8:29, Jesus said, and He that sent me is with me. How many people know? We're talking about God with us. God is with you. God is with you right now. He's in you right now. And you got to put that power to work in your life by speaking right, by living right. He says, He that has sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. People say, I feel so alone. Somebody sent me a message the other day. I feel so alone. And okay, I said, well, that's your feelings. You're talking about your feelings, but you're not alone. Your feelings will tell you, will lie to you. If you live by your senses, your own mind, it'll lie to you because you see different evidences in the natural that tell you certain things. But in the spiritual realm, God has more information than just the intellectual knowledge. He's got more than that. He says, For I do always those things that please Him. So we want to have more grace. We need to please God. We need to please God and ask God, what do you want me to do? You know, there's people today that are praying to God. They want peace of God, but they don't know what they're doing. They don't even know if they're in the will of God. They'll buy a truck or a car or buy this and buy that, but they don't know God's with them. So they're having stress because they don't know if they can handle this payment. No, but if God is with you, you can handle anything. Amen. You can handle any kind of bill. But if you're all alone and you make decisions on your own, you better repent and turn back to God. That's why I say, people say to me, come on over, have these invitations. Come on over to preach over here. We'll have thousands of people. I'm not interested in thousands of people. I'm interested where God put me. My reward is going to be where God put me, not where a crowd is. Because a lot of times that people, come on, preach to all these ministers. Or let's go to do this campaign over there in Africa. And let's go to India. And I said, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested where God wants me. He wants me right here, right now. That's what He wants me to be, is in this city. That's what I was created for, to be here. Not to run around and try to do meetings and be trying to be famous. I want to be famous with God. I want to be where God wants me to be. Amen? So, thank God for that. So, grace and favor is available to every one of us today. Every single one of you in the body of Christ. You may say, as you said, as we've talked about, how can I get this favor? The way you can get God's favor in your life is pleasing God, is learning to come to God and say, God, I want to please you, I want to walk with you, and I want this favor to work in my life. I want to have peace with my enemies. I want to be peace in have peace in this world. I want to have rest in my heart. I don't want to be struggling and just trying to, you know. Listen, the grace of God is the ability of God. God can make you stand no matter what is happening in your life. That strength from God will be in you. Amen. To withstand any kind of pressure. Amen. There's no pressure that's going to take you down. You know, He'll make you strong. Amen. That you're going to be immovable. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Let's go ahead and stand up. And we're going to close this session. Thank God for His goodness. We thank God for His mercy. His grace is strong upon us today. And we want to please Him and do those things that He said to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Strike up a tune. Glory to God. Give me we're going to rock up here, guys. We're going to rock up first. And we're going to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, at least I talked to you this morning. Sometimes there's a preaching anointing. Sometimes there's a teaching anointing. Sometimes there's a talking anointing. And so I'm just talking to you like a man would talk to his best friend. You're all my friends. Hallelujah. Well, God is with you. He lives inside of you. And we want to have more of the peace of God in our lives. We want to have the grace of God operating in our lives. We're going to have to come to God and pray. We need to pray the prayer of dedication. Prayer of submission to the will of God. Consecration. I say, God, I want to live for you. I want your grace to come in my life. And when I make decisions, I want it all to fall into place. And if it doesn't fall into place, it will fall into place because your hand's upon me. If there are obstacles, God's going to move those obstacles just for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we want to praise you and thank you this morning. We heard from your word this morning that you can give us more grace. And we need this grace in this time to go through the situations that we're going through. Many here are struggling in the area of their finances because of the COVID. Many of them are struggling with their health and fearful of perhaps maybe COVID might get them or other sicknesses besides other flus. We're thanking you for special favor, a covering upon each life. You said the favor of God covers us like a shield. Like a shield, God is covering every person. That no sickness would penetrate. No sickness would get in. Sickness might be all around, like Psalm 91 says, sickness and death is all around, but it will not come near me. So we're claiming that scripture, that it is going to be ours. By the blood of Jesus, cannot penetrate. The demons, sickness cannot penetrate. So we're agreeing with that in the name of Jesus, that your power and your strength is released upon every child of God right now in the name of Jesus. That each one will have a strong family. You said, the house of the Lord shall stand. The house of the Lord shall stand. The house of the Lord shall stand. The children of the righteous are free. That any child that is caught up in addiction, we call them free. We call them delivered. And you said in your word in Psalm, in the 49th chapter, the book of Acts, you said that only you can go to the enemy's camp and release the prisoner who is held captive from a tyrant. You can reach out to that drug house and bring that child out. Reach out to that place in the name of Jesus and bring that child out to that home, and you'll make them stand. We thank you, Lord God, that those that are sick in bed at home, those that have loved ones that are sick, we pray a special prayer. I want to pray, everybody lift your hand and pray a special prayer for every sick person at home right now. We're praying for a healing in their physical bodies, healing in their minds. The power of God flow in the name of Jesus right now to that bedroom. Flow right now into that body, into that bloodstream, into the muscles, we command this sickness to go. Not because we're so great, because the power of God is so great right now, richly flowing in there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The power of God is raising you up right now. Thank you, Lord. I believe it. I believe it. And anyone sick here, receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it now in the name of Jesus. And let's go ahead and pray for prayer. Father, we're going to pray right now for the favor of God. Lord, we pray, we're asking the favor of God as we rededicate our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we rededicate our lives to you. We know we've been born again, but we're rededicating our lives to you, to serve you. We consecrate our lives, our skills, our knowledge, our abilities, our talents. We give this back to you and say, Lord, use me as a tool for others that they may be blessed. Hallelujah. You're pleased with that, Lord. You're pleased with that, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We're so honored that you are our Father. You're a good Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We love you. And so we're praising you right now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody here, everybody close your eyes for a second. Bow your head. I was like, is there somebody here that needs to come back to Jesus? You're not born again, or you want to be born again. You've never had the opportunity to be saved, or you were saved once, but you need to come back to God. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Lift your hand up high. I want to ask you if that's you right now. Come on forward in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on, anybody else? Say, I want to come to Jesus. I want to rededicate my life. Anybody here? Let's say like that. In the name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hand to these folks right now. This little girl, this man, she wants to come to Jesus. Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for this man. In the name of Jesus. Come on, stretch your hand in the name of Jesus to this man. Father, we pray for this man in the name of Jesus. Father, the power of God is upon him. Release him from everything that would cause him to walk differently in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah for the power of the Holy Spirit upon this man. Thank you, Lord, for the power to break every source that would disconnect him from God. Bring him back home where he should be. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Nathan.